to the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Now here in this seventh chapter, I mentioned to you, it is connected to all that Jesus is teaching and his very message here as called the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus does not have disjointed subjects that he's putting together here, and we don't see how they fit together. We've seen all the way from chapter 5 that this is one sermon that our Lord Jesus Christ is preaching here, and it shows that it all goes together. I'm not going to go from the beginning in chapter 5 again to show you how it's all connected. I believe you would have one of the grandest times if you read the Sermon on the Mount. And I would even say the Sermon on the Mount should be something that you read at least maybe monthly to go over it, because it is for you. Jesus is speaking to you in this, and he's telling you how you and I live before God himself. Now in chapter 7, I mentioned that what the Lord Jesus Christ does here, we see there's a theme that goes through these. And in this chapter 7, there's a theme of judgment. And God is using this, Christ, I should say, is using this for each one of us and to tell us. He starts off with that there is the wrong kind of judgment. And as we looked at that, we could see here when Jesus says, do not judge so that you will not be judged. Now, I indicated to you at that time that Jesus Christ is saying there is no judgment that will be done by even us as individuals. But he's saying this kind of judgment is a kind of judgment that look wickedly upon his or her brother. And they're judging them. Really, they're condemning the person and not even trying to see how he or she can help the person. So Jesus says in this very area, that kind of judgment is the wrong kind of judgment. To condemn your brother, to look down, to have this super hypocritical way of looking at another one is a kind of thing that is horrible. But Jesus says, by the way you judge, you're going to be judged that same way. And we looked at it and understood in this very area that the kind of judging Jesus is speaking about here, that you will be judged in the same manner, is not a judgment that's going to come from your brother, but from God. And we saw and looked in the scriptures, the different places where God himself judges his people. And he judges them. We see what he brings them into that. One of you can think into mind where even in the book of Hebrews, that Jesus, the word, the teacher, excuse me, says that all discipline for a time is not great for us. We have to be disciplined. And if we're not disciplined, we're not sons. And so here, you look through, you'll find judging will take place. But then verse 6, it looks like that's disconnected from everything that is said here. And I submitted to you that each of the commentators looked at this, and they said verse 6 is truly connected to the first five verses. When you say, do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample on them underfoot and turn around and rend you or tear you to pieces. But I said here, maybe what Christ is saying here, he's speaking to those when he says, do not judge. But what is going to be the reactions of those who are being judged in this sort of way? Condemned by your brother, what are you going to do? And we believe that what Jesus is saying here, do not give what is holy to the dogs. And we saw from the scriptures, at a time when a person, a Christian, is really in this act of sin, it's hard to get through to him or her. And so basically Christ is saying here, you know what? Maybe you have to put that thing aside, pray on it, and come back at another part. And that's why we have verses 7 down to 11. Ask, seek, knock, and it will be given. This prayer here, though it has reaching applications, it has a specific application in here. And that is that we will ask, that we would have that relationship in the brothers, in the church, that would have it where we can see those things being mended. And that's why Jesus come off of verse 12, and he's saying, here's what we ought to have in mind. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. You want to fulfill the word of God? You want to fulfill what God has for us? Treat people the way you want to be treated. And now, then we walked in last, Lord's Day, we came into this next section here, which still is connected. He says now, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. we saw here clearly what Jesus Christ is saying in this metaphor, that, you know what, we're on a way of life. And on that way of life, we're going. But yet, on a way of life, because of who we are as Christians, we find ourselves is that we're not taking all the baggage of the world with us as we walk through, as if we're some kind of people. We could just dance our way through on this broad road. It's narrow because it is who we are and what we have. We have the Word of God, the love of God, and all that God gives to us, all His Word. And that kind of confines us, keeps us in. And so we're on this road and we're walking. So therefore, we're finding out that we are not doing the things that everybody else is doing. Now, when Jesus gives this to it, it sounds like there's two different roads here. There is what he calls the straight gate or the narrow gate, and there's a broad gate. And so when you look at this, some people goes on this narrow road, and the other people, they're going on this broad road. That is, remember, it's a metaphor. That there's only one road we're actually walking on through life. And everybody's on that road together. And Jesus proves this in our next passage we're going to look at. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing and inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles. And you go on and read the rest of the chapter. So here, Jesus is saying now, here you are on the road to life. You're going to life. You're going to be with the Lord God in the end. And you're walking. You're going through life. But there are those who are walking on this road with you. The wicked are not on another road. They're on the same road with you. But they got a different formula for life, which they can take everything they want, be as pleased as they want, fulfill themselves and everything. And you walking because you got the Word of God directing your steps and how you're walking. So he says, now on this road, beware of the false prophets. When we come to verse 15, here we are exhorted to live the Christian life in awareness of what is going on around us. Here's what Christ is saying. Say, beware. And there's three things I have here. And the first one I want to have, he said, this is a sober warning to the Christian. To each and every one of us, it's a sober warning. Beware. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Beware. Beware. This, again, is the imperative that Jesus has been given through this Sermon on the Mount. He's not making any suggestions to us and his dear people. He's not saying it'd be nice if you be this or you do that. He says it's an imperative. It is a command. Beware. It is a command. A command that looks forward to the future. A command that tells you and I, while we are walking, there's some things we better beware of. Beware here means to pay attention. Hold the course. It is used figuratively in the New Testament. Take heed. Watch out. I hope that gets to each and one of our minds right here. When Jesus starts this right here, he says, watch out. Be alert. Don't be a sleepy Christian. Don't be a Christian just like moving along. I know I'm in Jesus Christ, and that's all I have to worry about. I'm going to get to heaven anyhow. No. He said, watch out. And let's see what he says. And notice what he tells us to beware of. And I can say this. He said, you are on a narrow way, but be alert, dear people. Here we are to understand that the narrow way is not an actual road, but a way of life that I've been saying to you. There will be others traveling beside us on this very road, and they don't have the same idea as we have. So Jesus tells us to beware. Beware of what here? What is it? There's some little gullies in the road. Watch out for potholes. You might step in something. You might trip over a log there. No, false prophets. False prophets. Beware of false prophets, he's saying. False, well, the way it is pretty clear when it's connected to prophets or anyone like that, this nature, it's not the real thing. Pretenders, actors. There are those, and Jesus said, as you're walking down the life, you're going to come in contact with those who are nothing but actors. They're pretenders. And it says prophets, one chosen by God. This is what a prophet is, to lead his people. A prophet speaks for God. And so Jesus says, beware. You're going to find these people that come and they claim to speak for God. They claim that they are called by God. They have God's truth. They came as authorized teachers with the ability to explain the mind of God. They can expound to you what God has to say and what the scriptures are saying. And Jesus is telling us now, here you are as you're walking on this road, as you're living this life. And you know what? There are going to be those who are going to try to trip you off. False prophets has always been a plague in Israel. Always through God's history. And if God speaks about those, the false prophets came in sheep's clothing, Jesus says here. How do they come? Do they come in with this big label on you? I am a false prophet. Now you're going to try your best to fend me off, but you can't. I'm so slick. I'm going to talk you out of the whole thing that you trust in Christ Jesus, and I'm going to get you trusting me and following me. No, they come in sheep's clothing. Sheep's clothing. They come pretending to be a sheep, showing the meekness and the gentleness of sheep. They don't come as a wolf. Sheep are mild, obedient animals. The idea of a sheep is the very thing that they do. They are those who are there around. They need to be guided. You don't see them as goats having their horns beaten and buttoned up against everything. No, they're calm and mild. So the false prophet, he comes in as with sheep's clothing. He comes in pretending to be a sheep, acting like a sheep. Trying to talk like a sheep. This has been the plague of Israel, as I indicated. It's used throughout the Bible for God's people. They are sheep. Isaiah 40 and 11. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arms, he will gather his lambs. And turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 23 and notice how the prophet there say that as the Lord Jesus Christ gives him God gives to him the very message through Jeremiah to the people of God. He's teaching them what must be done. And he said, there's a time when it is not going to be the same. He's looking at all things that have taken place in Jerusalem, and he's upset with the very idea and what is going on. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 23, he comes down in the first verse, woe to the shepherds. Who are the shepherds? They're the one who take care of the sheep. They're the one who give to the very direction and care. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying, scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the shepherds who are tending my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not attended to them. Behold, I am about to attend to you. For the evil of your deeds, declares the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of the countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their pasture, and they will be fruitful and multiply. Here is what he says. God is indicating through the scriptures that his people are his sheep. In Psalm 78 and 52, but he led forth his own people like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. God is the one who's saying it. There was an old pastor he was a retired pastor I became friends with. When he looks at Psalm 23, he say, here you see David with sheep talk. The Lord is my shepherd. And this is it. And this is the whole vision that we get. God is telling us that this is the very thing. God is the one who is the sheep shepherd. He is the good shepherd. And Jesus says that in John chapter 10, pulling down that whole thing. But in the 11th verse, he says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, remember in Peter, 1 Peter, he He reminds us, 1 Peter and 1 Peter 2 and 25, you need not turn there. Peter carries the idea through. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your soul. That's what we are, people. We are sheep. We are sheep, and we tend to stray off the course. So there must be a warning given to us. Stay the course. And Jesus is saying here, beware. Watch out. Look, because there are those out there that don't mean you any good. So here Christ is saying here, he said, first of all, in this warning, beware of the false prophet who comes in sheep's clothing. And so they come with this very idea that they are sheep. But notice what he says about them. There's a vivid picture, second point, that he gives of these who come, so-called shepherds, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You know what they say? Don't go and judge everything by what it looks like. You have to know what's behind it, what's in it. He said, these false prophets, they come in sheep clothing, but what are they? He said, they're nothing but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Now, they don't show you who they are. They don't make it clear to you, here I am. But they put on this act so that you look at them and you think that they're the same thing. You may have seen some of those movies or something where someone's going to creep up on, especially the Westerns, on the buffalo. The Native Americans, they have a skin of a buffalo on them so they can get close enough to them and even kill the buffalo. And here what Jesus is saying to you, this is the same thing. They come in amongst the sheep, but they have like this skin of a sheep on them so that you won't look at them. And I can even imagine some cases, if, you know, just for a little bit of a chuckle, they come close to him and they say, bad, bad. Make you think that they're the same thing that you are. And so, dear people, here's what he's saying. But there is something about him inwardly. He says, this is the thing. What they really are is not what is seen. They are one thing on the outside, but they're different on the inside. What they display is one thing. But on the inside, they are totally different. They're ravenous wolves. They're wolves, and you know the whole idea about wolves and what they do. Ravenous, what a picture. The word is translated extortioner. And in only four places in the New Testament, this word is used. One is here, and two others. One is when the Pharisee and the publican goes up and they're in the temple, and they're praying there. I thank God I am not like this publican, an extortioner. In other words, this man is nothing but a ravenous wolf, and he's just eating off my own people to get his money to give back to Rome, and he's feeding himself also. That's the idea. And Paul uses it also in 1 Corinthians 5, 10 and 11, and talk about extortioners there, and 1 Corinthians 6 and 11 also. It means greedy, grasping, taking by force, living on captured prey, plundering. They have a design, and that is to plunder, destroy, and to prey upon whatever they take. And so this is what Christ is saying here. Ravenous. This is the idea. Here is their very thing. All this is hidden from you, but is who they are. In their heart, this is what they are. Ravenous wolves. The picture itself of a wolf, if you didn't know what ravenous means, you would even be afraid of that. A wolf is a ferocious animal. He is one that feeds upon a weaker animal. He attacks and kills. The prophet Ezekiel, speaking for God, said the following of Israel. Her princes within her are like wolves, tearing the prey by shedding blood and destroying lives in order to get dishonest gain. There's something behind it. And what he's doing, and this is the same way they do what they do. Jesus told his disciples in Luke 10 and 3, I send you out as lambs among wolves. And oh, what a warning that is. You're not going out into a very midst of things that everybody look at you, you know, and they pay, you know, hey, good guy, good gal. There's a Christian in our midst. Haven't you found out that the world does not like you so much? Paul was concerned for the church at Ephesus in Acts 20 and 29. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. You see the picture. And Paul knew what Christ said here, though Paul wasn't there. Paul said Christ taught him all things. And now Paul is saying here, the very thing Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount, I'm fearful of, is going to happen to you like a church, as a church. It's going to come upon you. What they're going to do, ravenous wolves, they're going to come. But what happens as we go on, the picture switches to their fruit. And he gives us this very thing, this picture of the tree bearing fruit. And he tells us about it. He says in verse 16, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? And that's just horticulture. You're looking at it. You understand it. So every good tree bears good fruit. But the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. And so he says here now, here's the picture. He switches to this very picture. And he says, this is the thing you have to look at. It's known by the fruit. And isn't that wise for Christ to do that? To tell us as Christians and how we are, and we so love Christ and to live for Christ, he says here, but you have to take awareness. You have to be aware and look at what's taking place. And so he says here, this is what you must notice and understand. Now, this is something that is not, you know, profound. We don't go amongst what Jesus says in these particular things and look for fruit on these particular places. But he says it, and how he says it, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they not? So we understand that. So then he says, so every good tree bears good fruit. And he says here, and he's using the word good, he means there a tree that is profitable and useful. And what it does, it bears fruits which are profitable and useful. And then he says, and he says, so every good tree bears good fruit. But a bad tree, he's saying here, a tree that is rotten, is not going to bear profitable fruit. But a good tree cannot produce bad fruit. Nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. He carries out the imagery. But then in verse 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And we have, you may have in your Bibles, you may hear corrupt fruit, corrupt tree. And that's another word for good or bad, but it's actually what it's saying here. A bad tree, this is an evil, corrupt tree, malignant, wicked. And the bad is a bad, which is horrible, and it cannot produce anything that's good. So now Jesus is pointing to this. Now you and I have to look and see and understand. Jesus is saying here, when you know them by that, you'll see them by their fruit. You are not going to get good fruit from a false prophet. You're going to get evil fruit from a false prophet. There's no way whatsoever a false prophet is going to come and give you what's good. Now, sometimes we kind of think about it. Well, you know, they said something's good, so you got to take that. Jesus says, no. You don't take anything that a false prophet come. In other words, that's going to be his hook in some cases. How is he going to present himself as a sheep? He's going to say some things that seem to be good in order to hook you and to get you. Even the devil thought that he could get Jesus by quoting the scriptures to him when he had him in the wilderness there. You know, it has been said, you know, but you don't go by that. Don't believe because a person says some things right that they are a sound prophet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is what Christ is saying here. So he's saying now, you must see and understand. This is what you have here. This is what's going to be done. This is what's going to take place. So that vivid picture give us here that this one, which he calls a false prophet, will never produce anything good. Case closed, right? That's what he says. That's clear. And he's telling you. He said, beware of them. They're going to find, you're going to find them. They're going to come. And what are they going to do? From this very place, Jesus said, they're going to come after you. They want to come after you. Oh, otherwise, they wouldn't even come in sheep's clothing. They want to come in the midst of you. And so they can do what they want to do. But then Jesus closes this off with this clear conclusion. Notice what he says in verse 20. So then, I like that. Here is the end of the matter. So then, guess what? You will know them by their fruits. You'll know them by their fruits. You're going to understand who they are. You will see who they are. That sheep clothing they came in is going to be pulled right off of them. They're going to be exposed before you because their fruits, the very thing that's going to come through. In other words, there's something that the false prophet cannot hide. And that is his fruit. Now, the commentators look at this and say, what is Jesus speaking of when he say, by their fruit? What could it be? And then they talk about the fact that, well, it could it be the fact that it's their doctrine? What they're talking about and the things that they're trying to teach. Is that their fruit? Is that what comes from them? Is that what they're producing? In one sense, you probably can say yes to that. Because they have spent time toiling over God's truth and to turn it and twist it in order to get what they want, in order to do what they want to the sheep of Christ. So now, they want that end. That's the very end they want. So they're using that doctrine to destroy. So, could be, that's their fruit. And some say, is it their character? Not their doctrine, but this is their character. How they carry themselves and the things that they do. And basically their lives, after a while, you see that their lives has fallen apart. They are not those who are looking and walking with Christ and they seem to be so great, a good men before Christ and there's a teaching, whatever it is. They know that falls apart. But then there are those who say both of those things represent their fruit. And I believe that's the case also. Because a person who does not have the strength of God in them, the Spirit of God working in them, I don't care what they say, their lives are going to be shabby and shabby. And full of sin. And that's going to show forth. And this is the very thing you're going to see. So here I believe Jesus is saying, this is the very way it's going to be. You're going to see those. And what they're going to do? They're going to be those who are walking about. And they're going to show themselves. They're going to show themselves because after a while you're going to see them. Jesus, I believe he's telling us here, when the false prophets come, you're going to know them. And Jesus is actually saying, we better know them. And so therefore he says this. Here they are. They're coming with their doctrine. They're coming with their character. And what we must do. And I like in this passage. And I always look to it. And people says, judge not. I say, I'm not a judge. I'm a fruit inspector. I'm not judging you. I'm inspecting the fruit. And this is what Jesus is telling us to do. Inspect the fruit. See what it is. We cannot be fruit inspectors if we don't know the truth of God's word, though. And this is the thing. All that Jesus has brought us to, and I believe some of this, and I don't have the time to do it, you can take it and move it back all the way from the beginning. And you can say, do we see from Matthew chapter 5 here in this person who's walking about? I can say quickly, though, the person who has come and who is the blessed person, they mourn over their sin. They are meek. They're those who are kind. They're the ones who are hunger and thirst after the word of God. Are these doing that? No. And they see the word of God and they live according to that word of God. So yes, we can see them and understand them. And Jesus said we will know them. And the fact that we will know them is what causes you and I to be very careful as Christians. You know the sad thing about today, Christians believe that they can just walk through life saying they're a Christian. And that's just it. But Jesus is telling them, this is a battle all the way. And we must be, as they say, on our P's and Q's. We must know and see and understand, because they come in different ways. And this is, I want to say, how and what does this mean to us today, though? years ago when Jesus gave this very Sermon on the Mount. And as he said this, does this mean anything to us today? We're living in a day when ecumenical movement is happening about us. And everything is so love everybody. You know, and basically right now today too, you know, politically correct. You better be careful what you say about somebody else. You know what? You'll get the whole nation coming against you if you put somebody down. Well, you think Jesus thought we were going to be coming at a time in this world when political correctness would be the thing that will wave of the day? Yeah, he knew that. But he still tells us to beware of false prophets. And that's what we have to do. But I think what we need to do, brother, is how do we use this today? What does it mean for us? You know something? It is not enough for me to preach the scripture to you. Open up the text where you understand it and then leave it as that. Jesus didn't give it to us for that reason. He wants you and I to take this with us and live in it today. So I believe what we need to do with a few applications. What is spoken reveals the character, I believe, and we could see it in a place. Notice with me in Matthew chapter 12. Hear the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying these are things you have to see and understand. And again, he has the concept here of the tree. Look at verse 33 in Matthew chapter 12. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So Jesus is telling us, first of all, to understand that this is the situation. And there'll be those, and we can tell them, we know what they're doing, we know how they speak. And some of the things that you've heard, and I've heard from some people who call themselves Christian ministers, is absolutely ridiculous. Some of the things that some people who are going about, a man or woman, say they were Christian, they belong to Christ, and the way they talk is absolutely ridiculous. We were shopping, I guess, what was it, on Wednesday, and there was a lady, she was walking through the store, and she was singing hymns. Oh my goodness, she couldn't even sing, you know, quietly. She went to all the, you know, not blaring, you know, but loud enough that the person could hear her. All these sweet hymns of the Lord Jesus Christ. She came to a place, my wife said, as I didn't see it, but she told me, she came to a place and she picked up something and a price off of it, and she said, "What the?" And I thought, when she told me, I thought about James. Can out of the same mouth come sweetness and bitterness? You know them by their fruit. A lot of people talking and going around here about who I am. But when you hear, listen to them and see what they're doing, if they're far off what the truth is. And so therefore, what is spoken reveals character, dear people. What we see, and people can talk, and after a while you listen to them, you begin to wonder where they are. And don't you and I think to person that we're being horrible judges when we do that. If we don't say anything to that person, we can wonder. And if that person is a child of God, we can pray for him or her and saying, "Oh Lord God, the mouth does not speak the words of Christ right now. They're not saying the things which show who they are and who they should be at this very point." And so we can pray and cry out that the Lord God will be merciful to the one. And so therefore, this is what Jesus teaches us there. But notice over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're told that, 2 Peter, excuse me, chapter 2, we're told that these times are going to come. There will be the things that you will see and understand. What is it going to be? Now, if we didn't have the chapter verses, the chapter numbers put between us, in verse 19, if we pick up in chapter 1, we could pick up, so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. In other words, they didn't give it themselves. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke by God. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as they will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. So Peter says, this is what's going to take place even right now, dear people. There's not going to be a place where the church is where we say the devil will cease from trying to destroy God's sheep. He's saying here, no, it will continue. It's going to be something that will go on and on and on. The devil's going to go after God's church. The devil's going to go after Christ Jesus. He's going to bend stuff and turn it to the place where you and I are unable to even understand what the truth is. But Jesus says here, beware, beware, because they're coming and you have to be on your P's and Q's. Thirdly, I ask this, how do we submit to the command today, beware? Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, we must beware of false prophets, teachers, preachers, even some brethren. Brethren, we must be aware. And it's not wrong for us to be sheep inspectors. Don't take everything that you hear on the TV about minister so-and-so, preacher this, preacher that, or on the radio. Do, as we even heard this morning, go to your Bible and see if that's the truth there. And brethren, we preach to you in this place that you can take your Bible and you can open up and see, is that the truth that is being said there? Amen. And that's what you need, and that's what we need. So don't take everything anybody say to you. I see some people, yeah, I listen to so-and-so on the radio. Oh, man, that was really good. Now, perhaps that might have been really good because he was the right preacher. A good teaching, good preacher. But there's some out there, people are quoting, and I wonder, what? That horrible guy? We must beware of false prophets. And Jesus is saying to us clearly, brethren, I don't believe you have this is not exists in your mind, that there are false prophets in the world. False prophets that come into the midst of Christ's church. Jesus Christ is not saying here they're outside. They come into the midst. Peter says that. Paul says that. They come into the midst. And they bring their heretical doctrine with them. Sometimes God allow it. Because sometimes this church have to be a real split need to take place. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I heard that there's divisions among you. I believe it so. It must be that you may be approved. In other words, there's some things that have to happen to clear up as it were, to clean, to get out the dust, as it were. But secondly, on this third one, we must be strengthened in the Word of God. How are you going to be able to detect the false prophet? You must be strengthened in the Word of God. Knowing God's Word enable us to recognize the false message, dear people. Don't put it on your feelings. We heard that a bit in the Sunday school class this morning. Don't put in things, oh, that feel right, I feel good, and I believe. Don't put anything. Do this, please, for me. Do this. Let me check the Word and see how it lays up against Word. Why do we preach the way we preach? Because we can bring that the analogy of Scripture to you and show you what Jesus says here. It's not the only place that is talking about false prophets. It was talked about in the Old Testament. Jesus talks about it. Paul talks about it. Even Peter talks about it. So here is what you look at. And so therefore, when you see it in its context, you know that that is the truth. You must be strengthened by the Word of God. You must be one who takes the word, you read the word, you make sure you're studying that word and living on that word. Pastors must teach the saints the truth. Not what we want. Not getting on some hobby horse. This is what I have. You heard the old phrase about a one-note Charlie, right? There's a church that I was at. We didn't call him a one-note Charlie, but we call him, he had one message. No matter where he started off, he came around to the same thing every time. If I ever start doing that, you know it's time for me to sit down, all right? Because I done, something gone wrong here. Old age done took on, and therefore now I'm on that one thing. I need to sit down and do that one thing, not stand before you doing that one thing. Pastors will teach and must teach the saints the truth. They must teach them how to go to their Bible. They must teach them how to profit from the Word of God. And you, child of God, by Jesus Christ, you are commanded to study your Bible. Amen. Not just read it here and there, hit and miss. Study your Bible. Get in there, read it. And this is why, and the way we preach is to show you this is the way the Bible comes alive for you. You see it and you understand it. If you go back even after we've gone through Matthew chapters 5 all the way down now in chapter 7, if you read that again and again, you can say it just comes so clearly. And this is it. And then you have something to hold on to, something to carry you to. When this false prophet come, you'll say, there he is. He tried to look nice. And all day, he got a nice suit on and everything. And he got some words that sound so slick and cool. But I am pegged you, brother. I know what you are. Get out of here. And finally, brethren, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. Oh, let us not be those who push aside or put the Holy Spirit in some smaller place. Jesus lets us know that the Spirit, he is a person of God. He is one of the persons in the Godhead. He has a very work for us. When I go away, I will give you the Spirit. He will take the things of mine and make them known unto you. He will guide you into all truth. And then Paul says, grieve not the Spirit. Brethren, where we are now and how we grow is because of the Spirit's ministry in us. He has brought the truth to us. He's brought us where we are now, born again. And he is the one who's going to keep us. So dear people, if you're going to read and say, well, just a social, not a social time, but just sitting down and doing something, when you open that Bible, say, Lord, give me life. Blessed Spirit, take Christ's word and make it known unto me. I tell you, in our own humanity, we will mess up everything. Don't try it on your own. So here is the thing. Here's what we have. Jesus says, beware of false prophets. And then he ends it off with a, you will know them by their fruits. And so, brethren, Jesus said to each one of us here today, be on your guard. Let us pray.